again for all that he's doing. And as I stated earlier, if your mother's alive, amen, put petty stuff aside.
Amen.
If your mother is alive, put all that petty stuff aside. You know, I remember at times, since my mother's not here, I honor her by speaking about her. Can I have 2 minutes? I won't take long.
Go ahead.
Amen. There were times when we would question my mother about certain different things that we couldn't figure out. And she always said, as long as you have food, you have shelter. She said, have you ever starved? We said, no, ma'am. I still say no, ma'am, and no, sir, because that's what I learned when I was growing up. So if I were 100 years old, they older, they still no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Amen. That's reverence that we learned. Amen. And somebody said, don't move the old landmark. You ain't going to move it. So she said, have you ever starved? No, ma'am. Have you ever been without shelter? I said, no, ma'am. She said, have you ever had this? I was like, no, ma'am. She said, well, that's why you have to be appreciative of what you have. So you don't have to complain, because there are other people that are so much worse. So I honor my mother for that. Amen. She instilled a value in us that goes beyond material wealth. Amen. That value goes beyond that. So we honor and I bless her on today for that. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. So like I said, if your mother's alive, put petty stuff aside. Did me and my mother always agree? No, but she never knew it. Listen, did me and my mother ever disagree? Yes, but she never knew it. I dealt with my disagreement in my solitude. Because that's how we were raised. You don't dishonor your mother or father, because your days will be short, because it's the first commandment with promise. Amen. So did I like what my mother and father said? Never. And I know one time we had a situation that was going on and I was so upset, but I let them know it. And my mother came to me a little later, she said, son, I'm proud of you. I said, for what? She said, because you didn't express what I know you thought. And I was sure enough thinking it, but I did not see it. You know why? Because respect, it goes a long way. Amen. When you learn respect, respect comes back to you when you get your children. Amen. So, when I go home down south, I have uncles, aunts, 80s, and all older, I still show the same respect. Do we all agree on everything? Absolutely not. But they were I had respect when I was a child, and guess what, I have a respect when I am an adult. So all of you that have mothers, show them respect. Because you might not realize this, but if it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be here. Amen? If it wasn't, I don't care what they've done and how unfair you think they have been, if it wasn't for your mother, you would not be here. So can we say praise the Lord? Amen. So we do honor and bless the mothers. So on this Mother's Day, amen. And, you know, I was debating on, I had a message, but then another message came. So I was debating on the message. I was like, Lord, this is Mother's Day. We're supposed to do something motherly. Amen. So I was debating on Proverbs 31 on my message. So since Sister Patty already did Proverbs 31, the debate is now over. Amen. Amen. Because God already told me leave Proverbs 31 alone anyway, because he knew before I knew. Because God knows. Amen. So let us stand for our scripture reading. Amen. I'm not going to try and intrude on your patience, but we will try to say what thus saith the Lord. Amen. How many are blessed to be alive? Amen. Come on, how many are blessed to be alive? Bible said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In what? Everything. Everything is a good and a bad. Somebody said, how can you praise God when it's bad? Because it could be that much worse. So you praise God, amen, because God will never place more on us than we're able to bear. So our scripture reading on this afternoon will be coming for, also I've got to bless the Lord for my wife, amen. Don't she look nice with the hat on?
Yes, yes, yes.
Praise the Lord. I know everybody's not a hat person. Well, we're so glad that Sister Tinsley finally got on board. Amen. She got on her hat. Hallelujah. Mother Barbara has on her hat. Amen. Sister Kate. Karen has on her hat. I started to figure out where everybody else is at. Aunt Irene, what's she at?
There she is.
Oh, she has on her hat. Praise the Lord. My daughter Brooke said, I don't have a hat on like an old lady. You know, Brooke is an old lady. Oh, that makes you look churchy. Don't you remember when you were little for Easter, you wore the Easter hat? Did you look like old lady then? All right, let's get to the Bible. Mother Barbara, I'm trying to make it easier for you. Amen. But some of them are fighting hard. Amen. But if we gain one each week, we do all right. Right, Sister Tessley? Sister Tessley said, yeah. She said, Pastor, you don't have to tell me no more. I got on my hat. It's not a rule, but it looks good. Amen. So our scripture reading will be coming from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 10. Amen. Do we have it? If you don't have it, it is on the screen. Amen. Let us start. Verse 5 reads, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought
the good fight.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have
kept the faith.
Once again, I have fought a
good fight.
I have finished
my course.
I have kept
the faith.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. He's a what kind of judge?
Righteous.
Amen. Whatever happens, God is still righteous. Shall give me in that day, and not to me only. Amen. God is righteous. He says, not to me only, but unto all them that anybody love his appearing?
Hallelujah.
Then you have the assurance from the righteous judge that he's going to give you what you deserve. Amen. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus to them. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we bless you on this afternoon, and we thank you for Mother's Day and for all the mothers. Lord, we thank you for the privilege, the honor that we have to assemble together in thy presence. Lord, we thank you for the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we ask you on this afternoon, just speak. Lord, our hearts are overwhelmed. Lord, speak. Lord, trouble in my way. Lord, speak. Lord, my mind is troubled. Hallelujah. And I need some relief. Lord, speak. For only the anointing can destroy the yoke. Lord, only the anointing can set the captive mind free. Lord, only the anointing can open the eyes of the spiritually blind. Father God, only the anointing can open the ears of those that are spiritually deaf. Lord, we ask you to move on this afternoon and speak for thy servant here. And can the church say, in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Amen. Truly, we bless the Lord on this afternoon. Amen. And we thank God for his goodness. Amen. Our message is actually going to come out of the 10th verse of this fourth chapter. Amen. You know, it's so important that when we pray and read and we try to discern the mind of God for others, that we try to be led by his Spirit. Amen. It's so easy to get caught up in the repetition of the routine of things and do things just because they are habit. Amen. But when it comes to God, we do not go by habit, but we have to have a willingness to yield to God. Amen. And as I said, I was debating, Lord, how am I going to not do Proverbs 31 on Mother's Day? Amen. So God had already worked it out. I went through all that trouble for nothing. Amen. He already has someone to deal with, a virtuous woman. Amen. Her price is far above rubies. Ruby said, they're talking about me, not you, Ruby, talk to me. Mineral rubies, amen. Price is far above rubies. A virtuous woman, amen. The Bible says she would do her husband good and not evil days of its life. So we bless the Lord. But our message comes out of this 10th verse. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So our message today is a spiritual renegade. A spiritual renegade. Amen. Now, we know what spiritual is. Amen. What is a renegade? A renegade is someone who deserts, someone who is a traitor, someone who betrays a specific trust. That's what a renegade is. And part of a renegade, a root of renegade, is the word renege. And the word renege means to break a promise, to break a covenant, or to not fulfill a commitment. To renege means you break a promise, break a covenant, or not to fulfill a commitment. So we're dealing with a spiritual renegade, amen, on this afternoon. And who was the first spiritual renegade? Adam. Well, what did Adam do? Did Adam love the Lord? Yes. But Adam broke a specific commandment. God said, dress and touch all the fruit in the garden, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, he said, do not touch it and do not eat of it. You can touch it, but he couldn't eat of it. Amen. But we find that Adam, now Demas forsook the Lord because he what? Loved this present world. So Demas was more concerned with this present world than he was with pleasing God. Well, in the book of John, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in. Because if any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He said, this is not of the Father, but it is of the world. So he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The three aspects in our life that the devil continually uses to try to get us to renege or become a spiritual renegade are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, Adam became a spiritual renegade, but he did not deal with the lust of the flesh. He did not deal with the lust of the eyes. He did not deal with the pride of life. What he dealt with was a love for his wife. Amen. Because the scripture says the devil went to Eve and he was more subtle than all the beasts that were in the earth. And he said, isn't this something that first of all is pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, amen, good for food, lust of the flesh, and something to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life, amen. So as a result of that and the deception, Eve ate. But God had given, not Eve, but he had given Adam a specific command. Not to what? Eat of the fruit. But the love for Eve caused him to disobey God. Amen. Because the devil did not go to Adam. He went to the woman. And as a result of that, Adam willingly disobeyed God because of the love for his wife Eve. Amen. Now, Paul, in writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, said, is nothing wrong with you that are married caring for the thing of each other, but not when you place that before God. You should care the husband for the wife and the wife for the husband. That is God's way. But if it's in violation to the word of God, don't do it. Where Adam willingly ate, and then he tried to hide from God. That's how you know when you're running. That's how you know when you're renegade. That's how you know when you are now in apostasy. Apostasy means you have forsaken the truth. Amen. Because you try to hide. Amen. So you say, well, I'm all right. But when you see a saint, you try to hide. When you come to church and you know it's time for the word, you try to sneak out the back door and spend an hour in the bathroom because you're trying to hide. Amen. When it's time for the word of God to come up, I take the baby out because I don't want him to act up. You're trying to hide. So the Bible says that Adam heard the voice of the Lord walking through the cool of the evening. And he tried to hide from God because he realized that he had disobeyed God. Disobedience will always cause you to be a renegade. It will always cause you to break a commitment or a trust. Today in America and across the world, there is more renegades, matrimonial renegades than anything. They had a program on TV that God was talking about his wife and his girlfriend. I was like, what in the world is this? How are you going to have something talking about his wife and his girlfriend, and the wife was all right with the girlfriend? Is something wrong with that? I heard when they did the wedding vows, and I'm not supposed to go here, but I'm going to go here for a minute, but I won't stay. Amen? I'm only going to stay a little bit.
Amen.
The Bible says, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, till death do us part. What in the world is the church doing all this party? Spiritual renegades. You know why? Because they're honoring the world system. And it has a higher value than God's system. So if they had been Adam in the garden, they would have eaten in disobedience and defiance to God, because they have a greater love for the world than they do for God. And we just read, if any man have love of the world, then the love of the Father is not in them. And then Jude, in writing to the brethren, he says this. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the covenant. You know what's so good about salvation? It's not mixed up. It's not a whole lot of different ways. It's a common salvation. He said, when I gave diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, I said that you need to earnestly contend for the faith. A renegade, hallelujah, does not embrace the faith. But a renegade embrace their own mind and what they think is best. He said, you need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. Anybody a saint of God, then you need to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto you. Amen. But Adam had a greater love for Eve than he did for God. Amen. And as a result, he willingly ate. And the devil did not present it to him. A lot of times we say, well, you know, the devil, it's not the devil. It's your own desire instead of being expressed. It's your own lust of your eyes, your own lust of the flesh, and your own pride of life that is causing you to act in disobedience to God. And then you try to figure out, how did I get where I'm at? Amen. Because you have broken a specific trust. You are no longer keeping your commitment to God, but you're more committed to the things of the world than the things of God. And anytime you commit more to the world and anything that's in the world than to God, you become a renegade. You break your promises and you won't keep them. You do what you want to do because you say, I can do what I want to do. Did not the scripture say, let God be true and every man a liar? Amen. How can we embrace more what man is saying than we can what God is saying? Amen. That leads to apostasy. Apostasy is a synonym for being a renegade. It means that you're no longer keeping the faith.
Amen.
You're no longer keeping the faith. Now, the scripture tells us plainly, says we are encompassed about with what? So great a cloud of witnesses. Now, listen to what he tells you, because you have witnesses. Somebody say, if I just, you do have them. Because that's God's word. Amen. We're encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, so we need to lay aside the weights of the things that are blinding you, that you can't see, that you're walking in disobedience to God. Sin, you know you are willingly disobedient. But weights deceive. Weights are seductive. Weights make you say, well, you know, in your spirit, you know you didn't feel right doing it. But you did it anyway. You didn't feel comfortable when you heard it. Your Holy Ghost alone went off and said, this is not of God. Amen. The Spirit, your Holy Ghost was trying the Spirit, and it said, this is not of God. And you did it anyway. Well, why did you do it? Because you were blinded by the weight. Amen. Anytime anything in your life has more of a value or placed more of an impression on you than the Word of God, that is a weight. Yes. Amen. That weight, I don't have to classify it and define it. We know the things in our lives that are rivaling the Word of God. We know the things in our lives that cause us to walk in disobedience to God. You know, a lot of times people get caught up in the things, oh, you know, if you steal, that's wrong. And if you drink, that's wrong. If you smoke, what did Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden for? Disobedience. Because disobedience makes you break a commandment of God. So we need to lay aside every weight and the sin. It's not hardly be said, but does so. It easily gets you off track. When you have weights in your life, it will get you off track. When you have sin in your life, it will get you off track. Amen. It will make you a spiritual renegade in the sense that you will become a betrayer or a traitor, just like Demas. What caused Demas, hallelujah, to turn his back on the truth? Having loved this, hallelujah, having loved this present world. Did not we just read Paul said, I am not ready to be offered. He said, I fought a, what kind of fight are we fighting on this afternoon? He said, I fought a good fight. Amen. I finished my course. Anybody ready this afternoon to finish their course? Anybody ready to have a good fight for God? Are you going to be a spiritual renegade and be a traitor and turn your back on God because of the things in this world? If any man love the world, the love of God is not in it. Amen. So we have people trying to be in church, but they're trying to hold on to the word. Amen. They're straddling the fence. You know what this last church is called? What? Laodicea means will of the people. The last church age is Laodicea. Amen. Revelation 3:14. It's the last church age. You know what the rival to God would be? Your will. The will of the people, the last church age. Does the devil know this? Yes, he knows the Bible. So every time the word of God comes forth to convict your heart, you rival God's word with your will. Because you say, my will is more important to me than God. And then when you get all wrapped up in your will and everything falls apart and falls down, you try to blame God and point a finger unto God. Well, it's time for us to look unto Jesus. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. And the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame and he sat down on the right hand of God. Anybody want to do some fighting? Anybody want to do some enduring? Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said he endured such contradictions of sinners against himself. Amen. He said, now we need to do the same thing, lest we become weary and faint in our fighting. We'll stop enduring. Amen. In our quest to get answers, we're no longer looking unto Jesus. Amen. But we're looking to the world for an answer in church. It does not work. You cannot look to the world and think that you can get an answer in church. That is not how God works. And then we try to live both worlds. Amen. We try to live in between the fence. We become lukewarm. We're not hot for God. Amen. And we're not cold, but we are lukewarm. The Bible said God will spew us out of his mouth. It's time for us to get on fire for God. I heard somebody say, get right, church. Get right, church, and let's. I don't know about you, but I'm going home on a morning train. But when you become a spiritual renegade, you're running, you're hiding, you're ducking. Do you know when it comes to God, there is? When it comes to God, there is? This is not a Mother's Day message, but it's a soul searching message. Because many of our focus has been diverted. We no longer see God first. But we see everything else and then God. Now, I'm not saying neglect family. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having the proper spiritual priority. Did not Jesus tell his disciples? He said, if you love mother, father, sister, brothers, or anything else more than me, you're not worthy of me. Now, that love didn't mean what we think didn't mean love. He means if you prefer or put it before me, you're not. The reason there's so many spiritual renegades is they're putting so many other things before God. And you know, you can talk to people till you're blue in the face and say, I know it's wrong. I'm going to do right. And then the next thing you know, they have dropped off the wagon. You can't even find them coming to church. And then they try to appease their conscience, they play a little gospel music. Man, gospel music ain't going to save you. You're going to have to do more than have music to save you. You got to do what is right in the eyes of God. So a spiritual renegade just gets so far away from God and further and further and further away from God. Amen. And then when the church don't help, you have to go to medical stuff for help. If you just give it to Jesus, you mean your situation, God can't fix it. Amen. You need to go to the world and you're in church and God created the world and everything that's in it and gave them all the wisdom. But when you need him, you got to go to the world and send it to God. The love of the Father is waning, is leaving them in us because we have embraced the things of the world more than God. Can you go to, we're going to close in Hebrews chapter 12. Spiritual renegades break a specific trust, a promise, a commitment. They're no longer persuaded that none of these things are going to move me. But every time something goes wrong, we get mad at God and take it out on God and stop praying, stop reading our Bibles, and stop believing God. Now, yeah, we use that excuse. Well, if you know what they did, do you think God knows? How many of us, let's say this scripture, how many of us really believe this scripture? I'm not saying, now we quote a lot of stuff, but how many of us really believe that God is faithful and that God would never put more on us than we're able to bear, but he will with the temptation make a way for you to, that you can, in other words, God said, it's bad, it's not good, but he said, I'm with you so you can handle it. God said, yes, it's bad. It is the worst. But I am faithful and I'm with you so you can. But then in the flip side, we said, well, you know, I was reading about psychologists, so-and-so, and this one and that, and they said that won't help. Who do you believe? Who do we embrace and believe? Do we believe God or do we believe the world? Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. We've already went to verses 1 and 3. Let's drop down to 12. Verse 12 of Hebrews 12. Now, in I believe it's in the book of Malachi, God says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Amen. And like I said, once again, those terms are not like we know them to be love and hate. I mean, God chose Jacob and he did not choose Esau. And when Jacob and Esau was in the womb, Rebecca went to God because of the struggle. She was having this fight in the womb. She said, God, if this is of you, what is this fight all about? She had an unusual occurrence taking place in the womb. And God, she didn't go to anybody else. She went to God. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 25, I believe it is. So she went to God, asked God, what's the struggle? What's the fight? This is an unusual pregnancy. God said, well, there's two nations in your womb. The one is fighting against the other. He said, but in the end, the older will serve the younger. Amen. So she said, well, the older is going to serve the younger. So then the children was born. Esau was born first and then came out Jacob. Amen. And then there was a day when Jacob was in the house and I guess he prepared a portion of food. And Esau was out in the field and he came in. And the Bible says that he sold his birthright. You know what he did? He became a spiritual renegade. Because the birthright gave you first accessibility to all of God's blessings. Amen. The birthright meant that it placed you in a special place from God. So what did he do? He sold the birthright because of food. He despised his birthright. Amen. And then as his father Isaac, then we're going to come to this. As his father Isaac got older and his eyes were dim. Now remember, God spoke to Rebecca and said, the older will serve the younger. And Rebecca knew this. And Rebecca also knew that Esau had sold his birthright. So when it was time to receive the blessing, Esau missed out. Why? Because he had broken a specific trust. He had lost his commitment. He had lost his loyalty to God. So he said, what good is this birthright going to do me when I'm at the point of death? He said, yeah, you can have my birthright. He sold it. He gave away his blessings because of the lust of the flesh. Amen. And then when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, and he knew it was time for him to almost expire, he told Esau, he said, go out and get me some venison, which I love. He said, dress it, and then come in, I'm going to give you your blessing. But he forgot that he had already became a spiritual renegade. The thing about God, God does not forget. He forgot that he had sold his birthright for food. I wanted to think, are we selling our birthright for anything? Jesus. Our first accessibility to God's blessings, what are we selling it for? What are you giving it away for? He gave it away for food. Amen. And when God had told Esau, said, go make me some savory venison, which I like, he said, then come back and I have a blessing for you. But his mother heard it. And she already knew that he sold the birthright. And she knew more above that that God had already told her the older would serve the younger. So eventually what happened, you can read it this for yourself in Genesis 25. Eventually God blessed Jacob. And then after God blessed Jacob, the spiritual renegade came in and got upset. That's how you know you're a spiritual renegade. God is blessing somebody else and you're upset. When God is, how are you upset when God is blessing? Amen. He got upset. He said, well, is there a blessing still for me? He had become a spiritual renegade. So that brings us to verse 12. And this is God dealing with us and in church. And I don't know who's been hanging their heads down and who's been, parents, you ever tell your kids, stop slouching? I know those terms, you don't use that too much today. But we can walk around like this. Slouching and dragging your feet. No, you got to pick your head up. You got to move with some energy. You got to move with some purpose, some definiteness. But today we allow kids to slouch and go and do anything. Amen. Remember, if it worked for you, it would work for them. Amen. So verse 12 says, wherefore lift up the hands and it's time for the church to pick themselves up. It's time for us to stop acting like God is not in control. God knows what to do. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be. It's time for spiritual healing to take place where? In the church. Amen. I don't care where you were, the thing about God, every day is a new day because His mercies are new. Every morning, God gives us new mercy. So maybe you messed up. Thank God. Just come to yourself. Amen. The prodigal son messed up. Lost everything to the point that he had to eat what the pigs were eating. But the Bible said he what? Came. Can we come to ourselves this afternoon? I don't care how far you've been away from God. I don't care how far you messed up. Isn't it time to come to yourself? You know, when you come to yourself, you don't place demands on God. Hallelujah. When the prodigal son came to his father, he said, Father, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. He said, but I just want to get back in the house. I just want to get back in your favor. He said, just make me one of the hired servants. Lord, I don't deserve anything from you. Amen. He said, just make me a high servant. Now, when we mess up, we come back to God and say, I want this, and I want you to do that. You know what? I say, Lord, whatever you give me. I messed up. Yes. You can't come back and tell God, why are you blessing them this way and not me? I came to myself. And when I came back to God, I said, God, I just want to be a servant. Then David said, if I could just be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, than to dwell in a thousand tents of the wicked. If I could just be, Lord, I don't have to have a title behind my name. If I could just be a doorkeeper. Lord, I don't have to be mother, bishop, deacon. Lord, I just want to get back in the house. The prodigal son said, Lord, you can take away everything. I just want to get back in the house. Amen. It's time to come to ourselves. Verse 13 says, and make straight paths for your feet and that you rather be healed. Follow. How do you know when you get back on track? All that other stuff that used to bother me, don't bother me no more. Amen. All the talking people, don't bother me no more. Amen. I got my mind made up. Lord, I'm ready. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes, I must be saved. Lord, I don't care how much they talk. I don't care how much they ridicule. Lord, this is between me and you now. I'm just like Jacob. I'm going to get a hold of God, and I'm not going to let you go to you. Anybody this afternoon desperate enough to get a hold of God and refuse to let God go until He bless you? That's when you know I'm breaking this spiritual renegade. I'm going to get back on track. So it says, follow peace with.
Amen. Amen.
Look at our lives. Amen. Are we following peace? And when everybody else act up, do we act up? Amen. I had a situation the other day, and after I prayed and thought about it, I was like, Lord, I did not handle that right. And I am not going to tell y'all what it is. You know what? But I was praying, I said, you know what? Because the Bible said, love thinking no evil. Love is patient and love is kind. And when I thought about it, amen, and none of y'all don't even know about it. My wife knows, because she was trying to correct me all along. Amen. But sometimes when you get a little upset, you can do stuff wrong. But as I was praying, God said, you did not handle that right. So you know what I said, Lord, you forgive me. You know what? Because I want to be right. Amen. And it's just a matter, it was a matter of opinion. But it still was not right because I did not handle it like God wanted me to handle it. I don't care about what people think. How does God, what does God think about what I do? So I need to follow peace with and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 15 said, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest, this is what happens when you don't get it right. Those little roots of bitterness will spring up and trouble you. Well, I tried, you mean all that, you know, some of us have had some stuff in our closet for years. You need to get rid of that. That's not even a root. It's not a twig. You actually got a tree growing in your closet. Amen. You need to get rid of it. It started off as a root, but you festered and you nurtured it so long that that bitterness has become a tree. You need to cut it down and put it in the fire. Well, you know, I don't have to understand. Does God understand? You don't know. I don't have to know. Does God know? Think there's some bitterness. There's some roots. We're not talking about that spiritual root stuff now, all right? So I know with anybody from down south, we start talking about roots. Maybe looking for worms and all that stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about some little stuff that you've harbored in your heart and in your mind for years. God knows. You can never reach the spiritual level that God wants you to be on until you get rid of all of that stuff that's cluttering up your heart. You need to clean it out. Lest any root bitter and what? Trouble you. Lest there be any fornicator or person that is a spiritual renegade. A spiritual renegade. Lest there be any fornicator or spiritual, a profane person or a spiritual renegade as because Esau did not consider what he was doing because he was fulfilling the lust of the flesh. The Bible said, yes, we are free in Christ, but don't use our liberty in Christ for an occasion to the flesh. We are free. Amen. And you don't have to give an account to anybody but God. But if you're doing it to give expression to the flesh, that's disobedience. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one lust of the flesh. The devil knows the Bible. If he can get your eyes on it and get your flesh to lust after it, and then get you to consume it with your life, he knows that will be a spiritual distraction. And eventually it will cause you to distance yourselves from God. And then you will be just like Esau and not realize I just gave away my blessings. How many of us this afternoon have given away our blessings fulfilling our own desires? For you know that afterwards when you would have inherited the blessing he was a renegade. God will bless you. You will be rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he what? Sowed it carefully with tears as we stand. It's all about being real. Amen. We see some real, real. Jesus is real to me. So many people, but I can't live without him. That is why I love him so, because he is so real to me. If God is real, then be real. Stop hiding behind the camouflages. Stop using every excuse you can not to be in church. That's a renegade. You're running from God. As the elders, ministers, and altar workers come forward, it's time to be real with God. You can play with God, but God sees, He knows, and He understands all. The most important decision that any of us can make on this afternoon, the Bible said that it's time to search and try our ways. And as you search and try your ways, it's time to turn back to God. And our God will pardon and He will have abundant mercy. Don't keep running. I don't care how long you've been distant. It's time to come back home. It's time to come back to God. It's time to say, Dear Lord, I come withholding. Are we holding back anything this afternoon? What are you holding back? People are dying every day, going from time to eternity. We can't control when we die, but we can certainly control the spiritual state that we're in when we die. Don't put off for tomorrow what you need to do today. The scripture says, in the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. It's time for the church to return to God. Amen.